Testing. Where is brunch? Where is brunch? Morning, Jack. ABAP here.
Morning, Phil. How are you, sir?
I am extremely well, thank you. Beautiful day. Cloud in the sky, hot. Hope you're going to stay cool.
I'm staying cool. I'm not going anywhere. And it is hot. Yesterday I was in the car driving to Costco, and that temperature was 99.
Wow, yeah. Well, I've got to run some errands. I got to go to Costco this morning, too. Yeah, it's only 10 o'clock, and it's 86 degrees. Wow. It's no extreme. You know, it's every extreme. You know, for the long time it was just cold and rainy. Now it's just super hot. I like to settle in the middle somewhere. I love, like, mid to upper 70s. That's perfect for me.
For 70, yeah, I will take that any time. But a little bit over 80, and it's been like that last month and months already.
Yeah. Well, even if it's the humidity's low, I'll even take it up to 85 or so. You know. But I am not. I know a lot of people love humidity. I don't. I'm not one of those at all. So. What you gonna do? We live in a humid area.
Did anybody out there go yesterday to the breakfast?
Yeah, there was, let's see, how many were there? I'd say there was 10 to 12. Yeah, we gave the spot for you, and you didn't show up.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I had to go over to my sister's house. She wants me to go there early. I said, no problem. I will come by.
Yeah, you got to do the family first. So, all right, I'm just about at my first stop. So, I got four stops to make, all within the same area. So, catch you later, Jack. Stay cool. ABAP here.
All right. You too. Stay cool. You take care. Have a good day. KFADRC.
Where are your stops? Grocery stores. Kroger to return bottles, Aldi's to return bottles, pick up new drinks, things like that. Roger. I was just getting ready for brunch. Scratching my head, figuring out where to go. All right, later. All right, yeah, I'm just pulling it. AVUK.
Yeah, say good morning to Sean. KFAJC.
Morning, Jack. How are you? Didn't see you yesterday.
One of the sisters, she said, to come over in the morning because they haven't get together. So I said, yeah, no problem. I come in the morning. So I was out there about 10:30 in the morning. So I didn't have no other choice.
Well, that's the right choice. You made the right choice. Anywho, all right. Good morning, Jack.
All right, Sean, good to talk to you. Good to hear you out there. Take care. KFADIC.
Good morning, Jack. WDHALO.
Well, good morning, Greg. How are we doing this morning?
I'll be honest, I'm moving a little slow today. I slept in. So I'm on my first cup of coffee here, just waking up. Got some yard work to do, and that's the only thing on the docket today.
Yeah, you know what? Yesterday I went to, I was at Costco, and that temperature was saying, I ran the car, 99. I was just selling film there.
Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable to be outside doing just about anything when it's that hot. Yeah, I know. I let my grass grow because it's so hot, so it's about, 4 inches, so it's getting there, ready to get cut. So I'm going to get her done today before I guess we're going to get some weather later on this afternoon. So that's all I got planned. What you got planned today, Jack?
So far, nothing yet. And I don't know, maybe another couple of hours somebody will call or nobody will call. You got to play it by ear. By the way, it was about 4 or 5 people on 20 meters this morning.
Oh, yeah. I haven't looked yet, but I found quite a few... what they call it, 13 colonies calling out with a big signal. Seems like they're jumping all over from 20 to 40. I think I even heard them on 10 when 10 was open. You hear those guys?
Oh, I didn't hear nobody out of 10. You know, 4th of July, it was everybody's out there. But yesterday... it dropped down almost like not nothing, but, you know, a few people on 20. It was nothing on 10.
Yeah, I was picking these stations up. They call 13 colonies. They're a 3-digit call sign. And there was one in South Carolina. It was called K2L, and then another one called... K2J, they were in North Carolina, South Carolina, but man, did they have a booming signal.
Yeah, when you got a 1,000 watts power going out there, yeah, you'll do that.
Yeah, right on for that. I looked at the page and looked like they had an antenna farm going on there.
Yeah, that will do it. You're right about that. All right, Greg. Good talking to you. You take care. And we'll talk again. I'll be on this, I'll be standing by on this channel. KF8 DIC.
Okay, Jack. Good talking to you, my friend. You have a good day, and we'll chat later. WDAKLL, we're clear.
KFADYL mobile.
KABB.
This is W8VIJ, Waterford, Michigan.
WBVIG, VIJ, excuse me. WBVIJ, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, hi, Joe. The call is Whiskey 8, Victor, India, Juliet. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Greg, I know you. I just had a tongue-tied moment, one of those brain farts. There's an old fart. I know it's W8VIJ. But, yeah, good evening or good afternoon, whatever it is. I had a whirlwind of events the last week or two. So I'm glad to still be alive and still be breathing and still be able to use the radio back to you.
Yeah, you step outside in this 90-degree weather, and I could feel it. I was outside. They call it deadheading some New Guinea impatiens, which I knew nothing about, so I looked it up online because I wanted to produce more blossoms. So I said, okay, I think I can do that. And fortunately, there weren't too many of them that I needed to do that, but now I know what to do to keep that thing flowering, but unfortunately, right now, there's not a lot. I see some blossoms on some of them, but not all of them, but I'm fertilizing it and keeping it well-watered and just going to have to wait. It's a partial sun type of a plant. I don't think it's full shade, so it gets a certain amount of sun during the day. Sometimes I'll take them off the shepherd's hook and I'll bring them out to an area and let them soak up some sunshine for a little bit. Back to you.
Yeah, that definitely is a science when it comes to plants or growing anything. you know, even vegetables and things, you know, how they grow, and some above ground, some below ground, some need a lot of water, some don't want to be overwatered, you know, and all sorts of stuff. So it's a science. But hopefully you had a good 4th of July. Mine was no different than any other day, but I celebrated it just the same at home and watched the fireworks in New York City on TV, and, you know, just grateful for being in a country unlike some that are being bombed at the moment. So can't complain. Back to you.
Yeah, it's good, Joe. Thanks for asking. We had a nice 4th. We had my daughter and grandchild over, and then later on in the evening, I shut off some fireworks that were given to me for Father's Day. They were actually given to me last week at my grandson's graduation. So I got a neighbor across the street that had some, and he was setting them off, and I got rid of them all. I didn't want them sitting around here, and it was fun. I mean, I don't go out and buy them. I just don't want the responsibility. I don't feel like it. And somebody bought them for me, and I said, "Well, I'll shoot them off. What the heck, you know? We got a neighbor a couple doors down. He's a youngster, and he enjoyed it. Over."
Okay, E4ZYQ. I'm amazed at how long the tail is on this repeater. I don't know why they got such a long tail on it until it shuts off. Yeah, last time I bought fireworks was probably back in 1987 or 88. And I lived in a house in Tennessee with my wife and neighbor next door, very good neighbors. And the back of the subdivision wasn't developed yet. There was a construction guy, a property owner, that built houses on this whole subdivision. He built all the houses, all one at a time. He owned the property and built the houses, developed it. So ours was the first houses in the neighborhood on the front of the main street leading back into the subdivision. So one year we had fireworks. I bought some, went out back, put them on the ground, you know, had them, you know, secured. And one of the rocket ones, the big ones, boy, when it shot off, everybody backed up. The neighbors next door, my wife and I, we kind of backed up even farther than we already were, because we didn't really realize how powerful that one rocket was, that we, you know, the big launcher. A tube, I don't know, about the size of two inches a diameter tube on it. So I figured it was a pretty big one back then.
KE4ZYQWAPIJ. Yeah, well, I think these ones that I were shooting off had a mortar that was probably an inch and a half, 2 inches. And I think he got a six of them in a package, so there was two packages. And I've seen them where they're, gosh, those mortars are huge. They're a foot and a half or larger. Those are the professional ones. Those are the ones you don't want to play with. You know, I wouldn't set something like that up in a subdivision, but there was people that had some pretty good size displays. I was looking to the south. I'm not sure if it was in my subdivision or across the street from where the main street is, but I didn't go down there. But I wouldn't be shooting stuff off like that, because I don't want the responsibility if there's a fire started from them. I don't want to be blamed for it. And it wasn't extremely dry. Like today. Today would not be a good day to be setting fireworks off because of the, I don't think there's a fire risk here, but I don't want to do it because some of that stuff comes down, it's still smoldering. Excuse me, back to you.
WEBIJK4ZYQ. Well, let me clarify it. I lived out in the county. The subdivision was just a developed property out there, leveled. No trees, no nothing much at all, and one or two trees way up in the distance. So the land was all leveled. Our house and my neighbor and our house was side by side or end to end, if you want to call it, on the main street. And he had to go around the corner to go into the back of the subdivision, which had no buildings whatsoever. So it was a pretty good safe bet to shoot out in the county. So again, when I said subdivision, I don't mean inner city. It was out in the county. So it's pretty much clear land, newly developing subdivision by a builder. So it was pretty safe. Otherwise, I just don't take chances on irresponsible, some brush fire or buildings or whatever. But it was interesting. I amazed how much you could buy over-the-counter fireworks that could be just about made into any kind of explosive you wanted to. It's interesting to be in America, right? Back to you.
Yes, but, you know, you could spend a lot of money, and I've been in a fireworks store off of Dixie, but you could spend a lot of money, and that's for people who are, they got more money than they know what to do with, and they're always trying to outdo their neighbor on the lake or something, but I wouldn't get into that. I mean, I couldn't believe some of the costs for some of that. Then I understand, because the displays are much larger, you know, rapports are larger, but I'm not going to get into that. So, anyway, I didn't know you were having any health issues, Joe. I hope you're feeling better. And so far, we're doing okay here. I'm keeping things in check. Over.
Well, I appreciate any well wishes and all from anybody. Myself and another ham that I talked to recently and keeping in touch with had a bigger fiasco than me. I almost ended up in the hospital after getting groceries yesterday or, you know, Saturday. I had to go out and get some groceries. I was running out of food. But another ham, K-E-A-W-O-J, Rick, you've talked to him once or twice maybe, at least. But he's been in and out of medical facility recently, in fact. And he and I just talked briefly for a few minutes recently, and I wish him the best. It's no fun, been there, done that. So, yeah, you get older, all those things happen, like an old car, you know. When you drive a car long enough, you're bound to find something can happen, unless you're a lucky son of a gun, back to you.
Yeah, well, that's true. Nobody lives forever here. But a lot of it has to do with probably, well, there's some of those genetics, and other things are probably the individual diet can lead us to health issues as we get older. But, yeah, I didn't know Rick. I think Rick was talking a little bit about it, but I didn't know he was battling anything. So, real nice guy to talk to. I hope everything is okay. But so far everything's okay here. There's, you know, some things some subtle changes, I call it. Some subtle changes that I see as I crept over this particular age. But considering I'm doing fairly well. Over.
Well, yeah, it's a combination, as you know, Greg, health and well-being as you get older. And like you said earlier, seconds ago, genetics plays a role, and just lifestyle, whatever. And I know me, being I went to school for college for healthcare, for physical therapy especially, knowing the ins and outs of genetics and, you know, your genes and predetermined and what you don't turn on and what you do turn on of genes, you know, you can have a propensity for a problem, but you don't have to promote it. How's that for a lot of P's in a word or statement? But yeah, my family had a lot of genetic makeup that weren't all good. And I tried not to turn many of them on, you know, the genes to end up with disorders and diseases. So knock on wood, the grace of God, I'm still here and I'm still plugging along like a train. What's that old train, the little kid, I think I can, back to you.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. That's that little, forgot the name of the little cartoon or animated cartoon with the all the trains. My grandson watches them. I think I may have seen something like that when I was growing up, but the animation was different. Well, here's another one with the P word. Predisposition. And that usually is associated with probably, I'm going to say, predisposition to maybe some psychological issues. Over.
Yep, QSL that, KE4ZYQL. Like I said before, seconds ago there, to predisposed or propensity, there's a lot of propensity for problems. In other words, the potential's there. If all the factors or any factors involved promote the problems or whatever, then there you go. But if you try to eliminate or minimize the propensity for a problem, you've saved a lot of battling the end results, if you know what I mean. Back to you.
Yep, I understand. You know, I understand that. So there's a lot more children that are that have type diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and it's a result of their the garbage food and all that stuff they've been pushing across the aisleways. And then again, you have parents that are not active as far as nutrition, helping their children along to make sure they're eating properly, getting the proper nutrients, and so they end up today. You end up with a lot more obesity, and as a result, you end up with diabetes. You know, when I was growing up, there were some people who had it, and they weren't necessarily obese, but they had diabetes. Or
yep, QSL that, and a little bit off the subject, what you just said, I hear you, a little bit off the subject. I heard a guy within the last month or so talk about the differences of kids growing up in a family of multiple kids. You know, there's the first child or two that are the experimental ones, they call them a lot of times, because families or parents that have the first kids, or they've never had kids if they haven't, and they got to learn from that, so... And then you get to the middle child, which I was, and the middle child, this guy described as a cooperative person who wanted to make ends, you know, everybody get along and kind of sit back and quiet and, you know, go with the flow kind of thing. And then the young ones, the youngest ones, the last ones born, you know, the youngest, and had to strive for attention because everybody else was getting it. And all the things you went into, some of the characteristics, not always set in stone, but very common to multiple kids in a family. I thought, wow, he hit my position right on the nose about being in the middle, not striving for attention, being content, being self-sufficient. I mean, he said all the things I'm thinking about. He's talking about me, and I didn't read into it. I mean, that literally sounded just like he was talking to me. Back to you.
W.I.D.A. Yeah, I don't know. Is that Chris? I'm not sure. You said your call real fast. I caught, I think I caught the letters, but not the call. But I'm not sure it is. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I understand. I understand there, Joe. Yeah, I've listened to some podcasts, and what they were describing to me was, yeah, that's me. You know, I have that particular exhibit, that particular trait. Go ahead, station, pick it up. This is WABIJ. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf.
Yes, hi Greg, hi Joe. Funny thing, you're talking about diabetes. I found out yesterday that there is a type 5 diabetes. Neither one of us will ever get it, but there is such a thing. I couldn't believe it. I knew there was a type 3 and did not even know there was a type 4 or 5. Joe?
KE4ZYQ. Well, you know, guys, there's one thing, too, related to health that I'll mention that's a little off subject slightly, but I bought some cough drops, geez, last summer sometime. It was on sale at Costco, and they were, I'm trying to think of the name of them now, Recoli or whatever, anyhow. And I found out they had aspartame in them, which causes me headaches. I had to return them. But all these additives are putting in foods with people that have health issues. And now they're trying to ban all the artificial colors or dyes that are put in foods so you feel pleasant about seeing that, hey, it's colored orange. Well, wait a minute, that color is artificial. That's not good for you. And a lot of foreign companies, not to get into politics, but the foreign companies don't want any product shipped to them over there, European people, with a lot of dyes and colors and artificial this and filler that and flavor enhancers. They were smart because, like, Italy, I think, is one of the most healthy countries, I heard, and they drink wine. They don't drink soft drinks much that I know of, but Hey, whatever. Over to you, Greg.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the Type 5, never heard of it. And Joe, I don't think it has anything to do with politics. I know for a fact that Europe won't allow that garbage in their country. They're a lot smarter than that. And Italy, the reason why a lot of people drink the wine there is because the water is not safe to drink. They don't have the purification that they have here necessarily. Of course, I don't drink anything with fluoride in it. And I will not allow the dentist, oh, would you want a fluoride treatment? I said, why? Why would I want that? That's dangerous. And they think it's okay. I won't buy toothpaste with fluoride in it. And if I did, it was many, many years ago. But politics don't have anything to do with it. This is part of a plan. It's been part of a plan many, many years ago. Not a conspiracy. It's a plan to get people sick. So when they get sick, the pill companies, the pharmaceuticals can put them on meds. That's how they make their money, Chris.
Yeah, I can see what Joe is saying. I think what it is probably before they put that one item in there, the chemical would have had a bitter taste, and adding aspartame probably would have made that more palatable. You know, sometimes you got to take the bitter with the sweet, Joe, WIDX.
Well, guys, to give you an idea, too, about following one's health, and like you said, Greg, about fluoride, I don't either do that, and I wouldn't have the dentist do what you said either, I'm right there with you. But I've never had a headache since 1975, and the reason I was having headaches back then, briefly every now and then, was a sinus issue that when I had nasal surgery to open up my nasal passage and fix a deviated septum, I stopped having sinus headaches. But then last summer, like I said, when I cough drops, and never having a headache since the 75, I started getting the pre-headache feeling. I knew what it felt like. I said, wait a minute, and I looked at that bag and I said, aspartame. I said, that's it. Because I had more than one cough drop from that bag. And each time I had one, shortly after, I had that feeling again. I thought, no, it's aspartame. It's got to be. But yeah, you're right, Greg. They want people to be hooked and to be a lifetime customer of drugs and doctors and outpatient clinics. And that's how they make the money. You know, that's how, what they say, money makes the world go around. But unfortunately, it shouldn't be in that way. Over to you, Greg.
Yeah, WATIJ, it's taken a long time to get to this point. And in my 20s, I decided that I wanted to, to monitor my diet. Now, was I 100%? No, but a lot of stuff I stayed away from, and I'm not going to make a list of it, because I wanted a quality of life. I wanted to make it to this point, which I have so far, and it's also by the grace of God. But for the most part, I avoided a lot of things that most people were, accustomed to having, and I just decided I wasn't going to go that route. So it probably benefited me, helped me, and kept me out of, any major health issues. I think that cough drop is Ricola is the name of that. I'll have to look at it sometime. But at least you found out what was causing the headaches. So, you probably could take it back. You could have taken it back, told them, I didn't know this chemical was in it. It's causing me headaches. Can I get a refund? And a lot of stores will do it. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, imagine that. Big Pharma could make a lot of money just curing people. Lord knows we've got enough problems out there. They could actually give the cure, and they would not lose money. They would have notoriety. Of course, the notoriety now that they have is evil. I mean, they're treating the symptoms. They're not treating the cure. And the cure is out there, but they made it so that so expensive that we, the little people, can't afford it. geez. And I need another glass of water. Catch, over to you, Joe. I may or may not be back. WIOX.
KE4ZYQ. Well, Greg, I did take those back, by the way, just so you know. Yeah, the next day I had time. I took them back, explained why I'm getting a refund, and they had no questions asked, gave me a refund back. And that was the name of that story. But, shoot, there was something else. It was Recoli, by the way, whatever the one you said, and the yellow bag and all that one they advertised, but... Yeah, I look on packages for, you know, the ingredients, and, oh, I know what I did the other day. When I went shopping for some groceries, I saw a girl. I was in my car for a minute before leaving, and a girl came out of the grocery store. Let me reset here. KE4ZYQ. Girl came out of the grocery store with her shopping cart, and she had two cases of bottled water. And she looked all of about 10 pounds. I mean, she was a real small little girl, lady. And I happened to be right by my driver's door, which was passing with her cart. So I rolled the window down. I said, ma'am, do you know you could save a lot of money not buying bottled water? I says, if you go to a local hardware store and buy one of these pure water faucet attachments, which I looked up and bought, I've been buying and using them for years. Each water filter, even the water faucet filter system, filters 100 gallons of water. And somebody on one of the nets, I gave them information about 100 gallons of water per filter and how many ounces are in a bottle of water. And they figured out 66 cases of water with the one water filter on your faucet. You save having to lug 66 cases. And when you buy a package on the internet of six filters, water filters for this water faucet system, it's not that expensive, and you save 66 cases of water. And not only the plastic, the carrying, and the expense, but you get what you really pay for, clean, good-tasted water. Back to you.
Yeah, I wanted to drop there. W-A-V-I-J. Well, you're speaking of the water bottles that contain microplastics. I think some of them are stating that they don't, but I don't keep water in plastic. We do buy that for coffee, but it's filtered, and I don't keep that for very long. I mean, just empty it and then recycle the plastic. But there's microplastics in that. And you figure if you get, at best, you can go to Kroger and probably get 24 bottles, I believe, for I thought $3.39. So you said 66 times $3.39. Do your math. That's how much money you save if you filtered it. I used to be able to get these filters that would filter out the parasites, Cryptosporidium and Giardia. And I haven't seen that lately because I know the ones you're talking about do not filter out that. You have to get filters, but they will filter out things such as parasites and other things. I do have, we do have a water filter. I can't remember the name of it. I mean, I get it all the time. And we fill that up from the tap, so it filters that water. And that's from the wells and water, get water from them, which it's, I think it's, Let me buy a second. WAPIJ. We get it from the wells of Waterford here, so the only thing they do is they remove the iron. Over.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, the one I got for the faucet, the pure PURE, I haven't looked at it recently, but it filters out quite a bit, and it gives it a better taste, and it takes the chlorine out, whatever. One thing people don't realize about their general health, especially their lungs and breathing, that most people, if they take a shower, some take baths, but some take showers, and you take a hot shower, and that water that's coming through your faucet, if you're on city water or whatever, county water, is being heated up, and that's chlorine being heated up, and that's why some people have respiratory issues that are exacerbated, and get problems with that.
I have a filter on my shower that filters out all the chlorine and everything bad that it can, and your skin don't get dry. I could take the hottest shower in the world that almost burns me. My skin never dries out, but it's one of the TV news stations said, take lukewarm water for your shower because that will dry your skin out in the wintertime and all this. I said, no, it's not the water temperature. It's the chlorine. Heat the chlorine that dries your skin out. Clean, hot water, purified, hot is good. Swedish people take sauna baths for that reason. The hot water, the steam, it actually opens the pores and makes it better.
Yeah, Joe, final comment on the water. When you're drinking water, you're not supposed to guzzle it. They tell you, they recommend X amount of water per day. Well, that's not true. I mean, some of it is you're drinking too much, and it's actually bad for the kidneys. You're only supposed to sip it, not guzzle it, sip it throughout the day. And most people don't understand. They don't tell you that. They just say, well, drink 64 ounces a day. So somebody will buy a quart of water or a gallon of water, and they'll sit there, well, I just drank a gallon of water. Well, you're damaging your kidneys. A lot of people don't realize it. Back to you.
Yeah, KE4Z like you. Yeah, you're right on that. I sip on it. I got a half a glass of water right by me right now. I've been sipping on through the day. I get dry mouth a lot of times. But people don't realize, too, the average public, not trained in any kind of healthcare profession, don't realize water, if you drink periodically water, as you normally should, most human beings, is a natural blood thinner. And for most people that don't drink water, to try to substitute with medicines and pills and drugs to thin their blood so they don't have too much coagulation, too much problems with bloodstream. If they would have drank water throughout their life, let alone a year, their life, water's natural blood thinner. There you go. No pills, no prescription required. Back to you.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if Chris wanted to come back. Well, I'm outside and there's a steady breeze out here, but it is cooking. It is cooking out here. I'm in the shade underneath my big oak tree, and I'm catching a breeze. I got to admit, if there wasn't any breeze, I would not be out here. We're supposed to be getting rain. I haven't looked on the radar, so they're talking about some of these storms could reach severe levels over.
Well, just as you said that, I pulled up the radar, and I'm seeing a patch go from southwest to northeast across our state, and obviously mostly in the middle to the upper portion of the lower peninsula. But there's some coming this way. The next hour or two, we may get a little splattering here and there, but the majority of heavy stuff that's condensed is more towards Traverse City and the upper portion of the lower peninsula, so at least for now. But we're going to see something in the next couple hours here, a spattering of rain here and there, just a little line coming through. But, the temperatures, I don't even know what they are over here. Let me look. I think I got 92 air temperature. It still doesn't say feels like, so I don't know. The humidity is not too bad. It's around 92 here, according to my app. Back to you.
I was talking to somebody yesterday on the 442.225, I think it was, and he was from Taylor area. We were having a chat, and he had to go because his wife was calling him. I think it was going to be lunchtime. And he made a comment. I thought it's in my mind, but it was a personal observation. I usually don't talk about it, but it was a personal observation, and he brought up the fact that in most cases, he says he has the radio on, but in many cases, there's nobody on, nobody operating, and he's called. There's far less people operating on the repeaters, and I had to let him go because I really couldn't talk about it, but I thought it was a fair observation. I'm not the only one that has mentioned. There's a guy that does YouTube videos, and I think it's called Ham Radio 2.0, and he even talked about the decline of repeater usage. Over.
At KE4ZYQ, leave a little space there. Well, there's a yin and yang to that thing about very few people on repeaters or on the radio sometimes. And of course, part of the reason sometimes is the work week. People that are working that aren't retired aren't on the radio usually, unless their job allows them to be on periodically driving or something. And then there should be a cartoon. I don't know if I've ever seen one. There probably is one out there, or more than one out there, showing a cartoon drawing of guys sitting by their radio listening, turning their head listening, and have a whole picture of those people listening, but nobody's transmitting. So there's a lot of listeners, a lot of times more than people transmit. But once somebody transmits, all of a sudden it wakes everybody else up, and they, like you and I, you know, you called out, I listened, I called back, and that's how things get rolling, right?
Oh, yes, sir, that's how it works. There's no particular one reason for it, but I think there's a number of reasons why you see the decline. I mean, I remember what it was like almost 30 years ago when I got in the hobby, but it's far less people using it. There's enough amateurs to fill some of the void, but there's a lot of them that don't get on. They just don't get on. I've run into people who said they haven't been in the hobby for years, and they'll tell me I'm their first contact. But that's good. I welcome them back. And you have a number of reasons. You, like summertime, there's more people going out and doing things. They're not sitting in front of the radio like you normally do it in the winter, because you can't really do much. The other is that you have more operators displaced. Let me buy a minute. Because they have different modes that they can explore, which is a good thing, but they just don't have enough operators to fill these modes. And I've always kind of maintained a steady course and still like 2 meters and 70 centimeters FM. I do have a digital radio, but I'm not too excited about it. I've kind of lost my interest in it because a lot of repeaters, except for the WHCMN repeaters, statewide 1 and 2 are the only ones that are, you know, kept up and very functional. Good repeaters to get into via a radio, not the internet. Even though I don't know if some of them are connected there, I don't think so. But there's not a lot to offer in this area as far as BMR and other digital EFC 4FM as well. And then again, there's not much to offer. I don't know that there's any repeaters, C4FM repeaters connected. But anyway, I thought I'd interject that, and I thought that was interesting. The guy brought that up. Over.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, I hear you. Well, you got to admit, too, I think, or you might. That's a figure of speech, you got to admit. But you got to recognize, too, I think the interesting thing about ham radio, there's different categories of people on ham radio that are contesters that just want a connection or a contact and write it down, log. And they may not just do that, but that's mainly what they do a lot of times for the majority of their transmissions or connections. And there's the ones that are the rag twos, or you and I are like talking right now about things unrelated to ham radio sometimes even. I think the rag twos or the individual talking and group rag twos are interesting because you can give ideas to other people or insight to something, share some knowledge, share some insight. You know, I could not be a ham radio operator, just check into a net and just have a log of how many people I contacted, and that's it. I think some people, they get into that rut, and then they hear the same topics about, oh, I got this radio, oh, I got the 99700 ultra vac, you know, system, and I'm not a radio head, so talking about all the different models and that, and I could talk about certain things, but all the different models and the new ones coming out and that, I don't know. I would consider myself a ham radio head. Just a user and an interesting, and check into nets to keep the allocations and the band openings and the privileges. Obviously, check into nets, not because they're trying to compete with anybody, but the only way to keep them is to make sure they're in use, like you said. Back to you.
WATIJ, well, you know, that's I guess it depends on, I think you were saying a radio head. Yeah, I like to know what people are operating, especially when I get on HF. But I don't particularly care for, I'm not a contester. I may work parks on the air. I enjoy that because I'm making a contact with somebody that's operating generally and usually QRP. It's not really important to me, but I like to make contacts with them, and I'm logged into their website, so it shows me how many I've made. But I'm not a contester. I don't have that. My brain doesn't work like that. Could I contest? Yeah, but do I want to? No, I don't want to. It's not something that I really want to do. I'd rather rag chew. And it's okay to talk about non-amateur radio stuff. You know, let me buy it. I was listening to some guys on 40 meters AM. And talk about rag chewers. These guys operate AM equipment. And when they operate their equipment, a lot of it's vintage and they have the power behind it. So they're like their own radio station. The guy will be talking about a subject and he'll go on for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And I'll sit back and listen to him. But there's always and generally something I'm going to learn from that guy. I don't learn anything other than, listening to what had happened, let's say, when he went on a fishing trip or whatever, which doesn't mean anything to me, but I still sit back and listen and talk about rag chew. These guys are really good at it. Over.
The FKE4ZYQ, leave a little space, even though that tail lasted a long time. But don't get me wrong, I want to clarify myself. I have no judgment, no negativity thoughts about people that do contesting and get a lot of logs in there, log in a lot of people they've contacted all over the world and whatever. I have no opinion about that. It's just not my bag. Even if I had a tower with a big antenna on it capable of getting all over the world, I just contacting somebody, putting their call sign in a logbook, is not my bag. And again, it's no negativity towards people that like it and have a record and get awards for it and hang them on their walls. I have no opinion about it whatsoever. It's just not my bag. But I find being on the radio, checking into nets to keep the allocations and the bandwidths and the privileges there, and that's one of them. And talking like you and I have talked today about different subjects and sharing knowledge about the purified filter that saves a lot of bottled water, and anybody listening might try it out, but that's just like meet somebody in person, talking to them, and just having different ideas and different experiences or knowledge or insight to something and share something. It's just, even if you don't implement or go along with buying or getting something somebody has, it's interesting to hear their account of what they have or what they experienced or what they've known or learned from something. It's part of life. It's called interaction, I think, right? Back to you.
WAKIG, I don't mind people operating that stuff. I just know that some of that stuff interests me. It's all a matter of interest. I'd like to know somebody should come out with something and poll how many young people versus how many of the older operators work FT8 and FT4 and some of the other digital modes. Just be rather curious. And I've kind of formed my own opinion is because a lot of the older guys have done most everything, and that may be something new for them to do. But it again, FT8 is very automated, mechanical to me, and it just doesn't appeal to me. Now I've worked other digital modes like BPSK, Olivia, Contestia, Thor, and the likes of it. But I'm actually using a keyboard, communicating to someone, holding a conversation with them. It's just that I'm transmitting. Transmitting over the air through that particular digital mode. But now that's more appealing to me because I'm holding a conversation. I get to know that person on the other end. I haven't heard in Europe lately. Band conditions haven't been the best, but at nighttime I would always run across somebody in Europe and talk to them on 40 meters digital. That's 14.0. 7 dot. Let's see, 14 dot 0. Oops, 14 dot 0 7 0 1 5, something like that. Over.
Yeah, KE4ZY2. Yeah, that's interesting. One thing I didn't realize I was going to do, but when I found out about the frequencies for the ISS repeater going over, going past, you know, every now and then or several times a day or night, I got some apps that track the path of the ISS. And it wasn't a major goal of mine, but it was something I thought, well, if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't, especially with an attic antenna. And I got a vertical, so I don't have a dedicated beam towards a certain direction. So omnidirectional, vertical up in the attic, and it compromised at that. And somewhere before, whatever it was, I actually worked, as you probably know already, but worked two people in New York and one in West Virginia. And I got that on a digital recorder, contacting through the ISS frequencies with a Doppler effect adjustment with two frequencies for that. And my goal was to get, let me reset here, KE4ZYQ. My goal was to get one time at least one of the astronauts to say, welcome aboard the ISS, and get a QSL card. And that would be great. And who would have thought, when I was a kid, talking on ham radio, which I didn't know much about back then, due to CB, that I could talk to an astronaut out in space. You know, I mean, how many people can say that in this day and age either? But that's one goal I'd like to do, and I haven't pursued it dedicated-wise. I haven't been tracking it and just trying every time it goes over. I haven't done that, but one of these days maybe I'll get that. But I was on the radio one day last summer, I think it was, and the astronaut was on there trying to get a hold of people, and people calling up. The train wreck up there trying to get through. And Al KDLH got through, and he got recognized, and I was right next to him on calling, and I never got it. So that was okay. Back to you.
Yeah, I think you probably have to get a Yagi, an aero antenna, which is good if you're using an HT. And you probably know the basics of the uplink and downlink, but you'd probably do better if you did that. I don't know what Al is using, but you would do too good with a vertical. It's not impossible, but I don't think you'd do as good as if you had a Yagi antenna.
QSL on the Yagi would definitely improve the odds, but I made the contact with two in New York and one in West Virginia with the same antenna I got right now, and it was because of the lack of opposition, other people, and the open band, and the timing was just perfect. I picked them up before the ISS came above my horizon line at a certain angle, and as they were passing over, going towards New York and the East Coast, that's when it came in even louder, and that's when I made the contact. So knowing the path by my app and knowing the elevation and the time of day and how many people are getting in the system, but the day that Al got in and I didn't, he had a better path and a better antenna, but there were so many people getting through that the astronaut picked out whoever he heard the best or won, and I'm sure he could have picked out about five other ones, but just didn't have the time. He just figured, well, I got this one, let me go back to this one. So I may have been heard, just not acknowledged. You never know. Back to you.
Yeah, it'd be kind of nice if they had the time to log in the calls that they heard, not necessarily one that they talked to. So it would encourage you that you are getting out, but that's not the case. And yeah, if you have the right angle and the timing, they're traveling at 25,000 miles an hour, so they don't have much time. You don't have much time to make a contact with a vertical, over.
SW8VIJKE4ZYQ. Well, I found I have that frequencies with the two receive frequencies and one transmit on my radio. So when I'm scanning any time during the day or night, if they're transmitting and I can receive them, I hear them. You know, other people trying to get two of them. And not necessarily the astronaut, just a repeater. Now, obviously, the more the repeater's open, more than the astronauts being taking time to talk. But, yeah, I hear them a lot of times going over where I don't try to even get in because I don't find it, so I just listen to whatever, whoever's getting in there. There's a couple guys that talk to each other almost every time it goes over. They must have some dedicated Yagi or something. But they say, oh, how are you doing today? It's like they're talking like they're doing a land-based repeater all the time. They know each other's voice and the call sign, and they make contacts almost every time it goes over their path. Back to you.
Yeah, you know, you could probably get in, also get into working the satellites, too. There's a lot of them out there. But, hey, Joe, I'm going to get going here. I'm going to get inside. It's been out here long enough, and I think the flies are biting. Doesn't that mean when the flies bite that it's going to rain? I don't know if that's true or not. I should look it up on the I got artificial intelligence search, so I'm going to look it up and see what it says. All right, Joe, good rag chewing with you. KE4ZYQ-W8VIJ73 for now. Look forward to the next time, and stay healthy.
Well, Greg, the feeling's mutual. Thanks for the rag chew and the time, taking the time and talking about whatever. Always a pleasure. And my motto is stay healthy, stay happy, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught. One of those last two. If you don't get in trouble, just don't get caught. But anyhow, KE4ZYQ clear.
This is KD4UHY, located in northern Alabama. Echo Link, virtual reality big screen. Anyone have a copy on this Echo Link station?
KFADAT, I hear you, 5-9. Did you say from Alabama?
Roger, roger. Yeah, you got Pete here in northern Alabama. I'm connected to Detroit Echolink. Where are you located there?
I'm up in Birch, just south of Saginaw, Michigan.
Okay. Well, Ludington is my hometown. I worked for the CNO Railroad on the steamships on Lake Michigan there for a while, and I worked at WKLA AM and FM radio there in Ludington for 6 years. You know where Ludington is?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the area. Yeah, I moved up to the area of Michigan here about 12, 14 years ago or something like that.
Okay, very good. Well, We left Michigan in 1977, and we traveled in full-time ministry for 13 years, and we settled in Jacksonville, Florida, one of the biggest cities in the country, actually. It's 840 square miles of city limits, but only 110,000 or 1 million population is all. But today, we live here in northern Alabama with my daughter, here near Huntsville, Alabama.
KD8FK.
Come on in there, station.
Thank you. I hope we're not interrupting, but I couldn't help but hear that you're from Alabama. I'm around Huntsville. This is Leonard, AD8FK. My daughter is there in Coleman with the grandkids, so our heart is down there in Alabama as well. Back to you.
Yes, we love Coleman. We go to Coleman shopping. They got some fantastic buffet restaurants in Coleman, and that's not too far from where we live here. And in northern Alabama, we're near Hartsel and Decatur, right on the Tennessee River. My son is in charge of the Morgan County Sheriff's Department. He's over 160 deputies here in Morgan County. And so, yeah, we're very familiar with Coleman.
And what the hell are we linked to?
Okay, I didn't catch what you said there.
I'm wondering who the hell winked into Michigan here.
To Echolink, and so this caller is called in through Echolink. Go ahead and identify yourself.
Well, you can drop the whatever is linked into here then. WHCMN.
Well, at the party in Alabama, I didn't catch your call sign or name or anything. And the other fellow, pass it back to the other fellows you're talking to up north here. I think he's up around Saginaw with us. Go ahead, back to Alabama.
Okay, you have Mr. Pete here in northern Alabama, Kilowatt Delta 4 Uniform Hotel Yankee in Hartsel, Alabama, here in northern Alabama.
Mr. Pete,
KFPEA 8 in Saginaw here. That's Luke.
Very good. Okay. We lived in a foster home in Traverse City. We lived in a large children's home in Detroit, Michigan. We lived in a foster home in Hillsdale, Camden, Michigan. My hometown is Ludington, Michigan. I was born in Detroit. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But we lived mostly in Jacksonville, Florida for 30 years. I worked in a flea market as a professional airbrush artist. I've done over 25,000 pieces of airbrush.
FBI.
All right, I'm going to turn that crap off. W-8-7.
Well, Pete, I'm going to jump off here. I was actually just turning on to listen in. Got a lot of work to do around here, so 73-KF-8-EAP.
Station, let me go ahead. Name over here is Dean. Just driving home from work and waving a hand. How are you? Do you have a copy?
I have a copy. KFHDIC, Rochester.
I caught KF8 out of Rochester. How are you tonight?
Hey, good. This is KF8, Detroit, Rock City. KF8, Detroit, Rock City. Roger.
KF8, AFA's GRC. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. Driving home tonight. A little bit of rain over here. I'm in New Haven. Coming in on the Mount Clemens repeater. And just trying to see if anyone was out here.
Roger, it was raining earlier here in Rochester, and it stopped, and it came back again. It rained so hard. Now it's raining steady a little bit. And you're sounding good. I'm on the one repeater, by the way.
Yeah, copy that. I've got you 5-9 over here. I know it doesn't necessarily matter on a repeater, but you are loud and clear over here. They have a really nice link system going. I've talked to a couple people on this link system, one of them in Frankenmuth, and it's just a really nice link system. Over.
Roger, yeah, I haven't not, on the ham side, I haven't heard anybody from Frankenmuth yet, but I all around, I do hear people out there, and I talk to them, and they know me, and I know them. And anyhow, what is your location? And do me a favor. I need it one more time, your cosign. That way I can put it in my book. Roger?
Yes, the cosign is Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha in New Haven, Michigan, about 35 minutes north of Detroit, on the East Coast.
So you buy a Maybell repeater, and that's what I heard, K-A-8-L-A, and that's all I heard. Roger.
I just turned the power up a little bit. It's K-E-H-L-A-X, Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. LAX is in Los Angeles Airport. Over.
Yes, sir, I got you. Yeah, my name is Jack, and I'm on the Rochester, and I'm on the 9600. I don't know if you know what 9600 or not, PYT. And he said he's sounding good, but you're sounding good too. And are you on your Maybell repeater out that way?
The machine I am talking on is Kilo Charlie 8, Uniform Mike Papa, KC8UMT. I am currently mobile in my truck. Over.
I know which one is that. No problem. Well, I have, you know, two of them close by anyhow. I hit both of them. And you're sounding good anyhow. And you're mobiling to almost your destination, correct?
That is correct. I just pulled in my driveway. I am at my destination, currently New Haven. I am at Gratiot and 27 Mile Road.
Okay, I'm over here between John R. and Dick Winder at 23 Mile. Well, good talking to you. We'll talk again. I'll be over here all the time. And you take care and you have a good evening. KF8, DRC.
Thank you for the response. I appreciate it. This is Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray. You have a good day or rest of your day. And I will be saying 73. This is Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray. Clear.
WAGD, ambient here.
WAVD, AB8PI.